We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
The Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he has thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, or rubbed the clay on his eyes. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way thereof and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some say, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Now I want to preach this morning here by the help of the Lord on this very familiar story and maybe draw some biblical truths out of here. That will be very helpful to us this morning. And so if I would take a text this morning, my text would be one thing I know. One thing I know. Now here in this book, the book of John, has seven significant I ams, or statements, spoken by Jesus. You'll find seven of those I am statements that Jesus used here. And when he does that, there's also seven significant miracles. The statement parallels the miracle. In other words, for example, to get you to see what I'm talking about, here in chapter 4 or 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In verse 35, so the miracle that's accompanying that statement when he said, I am the bread of life, the miracle that's accompanying that he fed the 5,000 with five barley loaves and two fishes. And then in chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the miracle following that statement was when he raised Lazarus from the dead there in verse 44. So here in John chapter 8, Jesus made a statement that infuriated the Jews. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There in verse 58, he was saying, I am the I am from the book of Exodus. I am the great God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He said, before Abraham existed, I already was here. He said, I'm more important than Abraham. I'm more powerful than Abraham and more significant than Abraham. He says that I am greater than Abraham. And as soon as he said that, the Jews became very furious with him and they picked up stones and they were going to stone Jesus. And Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them. And he came upon a man who had been blind since his birth. And the disciples asked him a question here. I said, if the man was blind because of his sins or the sins of his parents. You know, that's what a lot of people thanks today is, see somebody, they say, sick. They say, well, he must have committed a sin, or somebody that's born with some kind of a disability or something. Say, wonder if their parents is the reason that they did that. Not, that's not all the time the truth, because Jesus says right here, Jesus told them neither he was blind because of his sin or neither the sins of his parents, but he said he was blind so that God could get the glory. And so in chapter 9, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There's that statement again. There's that I am statement. He said, I am the light of the world. And the following miracle that followed this statement was that he gave sight to a blind man. So he always followed that statement with a significant miracle. And so the Bible says Jesus stooped down, spit on the ground, and made clay out of the spittle. He put it on the blind man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, and he was therefore and washed and came seeing, verse 7. What a miracle. What a miracle that a man in 38 years had never seen, and Jesus put clay on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he was made to see. Now, if I would bring a blind man that had never seen here upon the stage with me, and I would anoint his eyes, and I would pray for him, he would receive his sight, man, we would have a spell, wouldn't we? We would get beside ourselves. We would get so excited, and they would be, every newspaper, local and national newspaper would be talking about it. They might even give me the keys to the city, might even have a parade. They would be all kinds of excitement, because here's a man that everybody knew has never seen and blind, and all of a sudden that I would touch his eyes and he could see. What an uproar. But that was not what happened here in this passage. That wasn't what took place here. The blind man came back from the pool and he told his friend. He said, a man by the name of Jesus came by and he anointed my eyes with clay, told me to wash in the pool of Siloam, and now I can see. What was their statement? We don't believe you. We absolutely do not believe that. We don't believe what you're telling us. So they took him to the religious leaders who asked him what happened. Now he told them the same thing, and he said, we don't believe you. We don't believe what you're saying. And then, look here down in verse 19, they sent for his parents. And they asked his parents, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We don't deny that. Yes, this is our son. He was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said the parents, he of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, referring to Jesus, that he's a sinner. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know. That was the text. He said, one thing I know, that wherein I was blind, but now I see. Now, many miracles had already taken place before this miracle. Daniel was saved from the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was saved from the fiery furnace. We know that God parted the Red Sea and God parted the Jordan River. Some who were dead had been raised, and miracle after miracle is recorded in God's Word. But this passage that we read here relates to a first-time miracle, at least according to the testimony down in verse 32. If you look on down in the chapter, verse 32, it says this right here, the blind man who received his sight. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Chapter 9, verse 32. Said this has never happened before. A blind man has never been made able to see before. And so this man had never seen anything, and Jesus gave him his sight. Now the Bible proclaimed that when the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would come, he would do four specific physical miracles. And those four specific physical miracles that the Bible prophesied that Jesus would do when he came, he said that he would open blinded eyes, he would unstop deaf ears, he would make the lame to walk, and he would make the mute to speak. You said, where is that? Well, I'm glad you asked me, because Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart or as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing for his wilderness, for in the wilderness shall water break out, and the streams in the desert. So said that when Jesus comes, he would do four specific physical miracles. Now in Luke chapter 15, we find Jesus casting out a demon out of a man who could not speak. And it came to pass when the devil was come out, the dumb spake. There's one of those miracles. First in Mark chapter 7, Jesus healed a deaf man. And he spake plainly in verse 35. In John chapter 5, Jesus walked by a place called the Pool of Siloam, or the Pool of Bethesda, and saw a man lying by the pool, a lame man. And look what verse 6 through 9 said. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another man stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and follow and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked on the same day, when the same day was the Sabbath. Now Jesus solved a 38-year problem here. This man had been blind for 38 years. And he solved that problem with our lame here for 38 years. Now he solved that problem with a one-syllable word. He said, arise. Arise. That's all that he says right here. And he had already given hearing to those who had been deaf. Former mutes were speaking. Previously lame people were walking. And in this passage, he made a blind man to see. The four specific physical miracles that was prophesied, that the Messiah prophesied in the book of Isaiah, that the Messiah would do whenever he came to this world. Now, Jesus is not just a rabbi. Jesus is not just a good man. Jesus is not just the son of a carpenter. Any honest reader of the Old Testament who would read the New Testament would have to walk away with one conclusion, and that conclusion is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He proves it here in the book of John. There's only one conclusion. When you read all the prophecy concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and then you come over and read the New Testament of what Jesus did when he came, then there's only one logical conclusion to come to, and that is that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Amen. whenever that John, Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so you see here, and I want you to look right here at this. I want you to look here at the unwavering messenger. When this blind man was in the neighborhood, he told the story of his miracle. When he was there among his friends said, "What happened to you?" And he told them. And when he was with the religious leaders, he told the same story of the same miracle. Now, he told the same story wherever he went. Now, there's a lot of truth in this that I want us to get here this morning. He told the same story to his group of buddies that he told to the religious people. Now, unfortunately, a lot of Christians are not like this blind man. We have a number of Christians who, they're excellent little Christians on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They're the best little Pharisees this side of Jerusalem. And they're wonderful. But who tell an entirely different story on Monday morning on the job site? Boy, they're wonderful when they're around Christians on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But when they get on the job with their buddies on Monday morning, they tell a different story. We have, and it's sad to say here this morning, and God knows that this preacher is not here condemning anybody or judging anybody, but we're just speaking the truth, and we all know that it's truth, that we have a lot of part-time Christians. We need full-time Christians. Yes, be Christians at church, but be Christians at work too. Yes, be Christians at work, and be Christians at play too. And so we have that. If you have a different set of things that you talk about, if you have two different languages that you use, I've seen this. I've seen people that have something they talk about around Christians on Sunday morning, and then they have a whole entirely different subject that they talk about on Monday with the work group. I've seen people that knows all the Christian vernacular, and they can talk it on Sunday, but when they go to work, they also know the vernacular that the world's crowd wants to talk about. So if you have two kinds of jokes that you tell and you listen to, on Sunday, they got the good clean jokes that they tell and they listen to. But they go to work, they'll still listen to the dirty jokes and the potty mouth jokes and all of that kind of stuff. And so if you have different two kinds of entertainment, depending on whether you're with your friends or you're the religious people, or maybe you would need to change your radio settings that you have preset on the kind of music that you listen to, if your pastor or some really devoted, outstanding Christian would get in your car. Now listen, if you got your radio preset on the 60s on 6, don't worry about changing it. If I get in there with you, I want to listen to them with you. But what I'm saying is, we have different kinds. We're not the same. But this man was the same. Whether he was talking to his friends or whether he was talking to the religious people, he was telling the same story. Amen. He did not waver. And so what I'm saying here is, if we're doing these things that I'm talking about, we're not consistent Christians. And everybody can cling up just for a few moments, but that's not the Christian way. I'm supposed to be a Christian 24-7. Is that not right? I'm supposed to be Christians all the time. Man. I'm supposed to love like Jesus. I'm supposed to forgive like Jesus. I'm supposed to act like Jesus. I'm supposed to talk like Jesus. I'm supposed to dress like Jesus. I'm supposed to act like Jesus. I'm supposed to go to the place that Jesus would go to. I'm supposed to listen to the things that Jesus listened to and do everything that Jesus do all the time, regardless of what group of people that I'm around.
Right. Amen.
It makes any difference. Don't make any difference. And so here, the story of this man who was previously blind, he was the same everywhere that he went, whether he was in the neighborhood or whether it was religious people. And I just asked, how are we stacking up? I can't answer that for you. As the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart, I have to answer for Oscar. Oscar, how are you stacking up with that? How are you measuring up with that? I think every one of us would have to say that in some areas we might not be measuring up as good as maybe we should. He didn't say, you know, I think that he was a good man. He might have done some pretty good things for me. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. But one thing I know, that wherein I was blind, now I see. He was saying, when I woke up this morning, when I got up out of bed this morning, and I opened my eyes, I couldn't see. But he said, one thing I know, now I've opened my eyes and I can see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, that's all I know. You know, I don't know all this religious language. I don't have all this religious knowledge. I don't have all of that that you religious people has. But he says, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was a blind, now I can see. He didn't labor. He didn't waffle. He didn't try to change what he was saying to the religious people for fear of what they would do to him. He told the religious leader, said, you know more about the Bible than I do. But one thing you need to understand is, I can now see. You know a lot of religious stuff. You know the law and you know all this thing. And I don't know that. But I do know this. I know that I can now see. So, with that being said, and I want you to see right here, and I want you to understand, he was sure of what had happened to him, but no one stood with him. Everybody denied it. Everybody said he was a liar. Everybody said he's not, something else had happened. And let me say, Christians, there's some things that you can be sure of in this life. There's some things that you can be absolutely confident in. We can be sure that we are saved. Is that not right? I know that I'm saved. Not because anything that I've good that I've done. Because of faith, by faith, I receive by faith what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for the payment of my sins. And therefore I know that I'm saved. That's all he required of me. And so I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There's something else that I can know, that you can know. You can know that God loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 38 and 39. We can also know that Jesus is our Redeemer and that one day He will stand upon this earth. Look what it says. Job 19, 25. For I know that my Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. We can know that we're going to see him one day. Look what 1 John 3:2 said, behold, now are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. I'm here this morning because I've never seen Jesus physically. I've never looked upon him. But I'm here this morning confidently knowing that by faith one day I will look upon him, the one who died on Calvary for my sins. And so he says, you're unsaved person, let me ask you a question this morning. While you're there in bed, tossing and turning, wondering whether there is a hell and wondering whether there really is a heaven. Wondering whether all those messages that you hear preached and taught, whether they're at the church, whether they're really true or not. I want you to know that me and Christians are somewhere sleeping in sweet peace while you're tossing and turning. And we're sleeping in sweet peace because we're confident and that we know if we die in our sleep that we're going to a better place. I don't toss and turn anymore because of that. I don't do that. I know here. And so, listen. They said in verse 26 to him again, what did he do thee? How did he open thy eyes? Don't you just love the response of those unbelievers? He says, and what he told them, look here. What did he do? How did he do it? Now, many unsaved people would say, and I've talked to a lot of unsaved people almost 50 years that I've been pastoring. Many lost people would say, I would accept Christianity if they could understand it. Now, they say, if I could understand God, then I would accept it. So let me just be very, very humble here this morning and say, if you're waiting until after you can understand God to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you never will ever get saved, because you're never going to understand Him. I've been saved for nearly 45 years, and I want you to understand me this morning. I still don't understand God. I don't understand all of His ways, all of His dealings, all the things that He does. He says here in Romans 11:13, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments. And look at what it says. And His ways are past finding out. It says you can't understand Him. He says here in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.